our people. Let's pray once again after your word this morning. And even again, that we return your praises to you. You feed us as well as birth. Now, Lord, we pray that you would feed us once again your word. Lord, I ask that you would grant me a bread, my friend. And we look to you as the bread of heaven and pray, Lord, that we might set aside all distracting thoughts of other things, that we might concentrate upon you. Lord, that you would meet us when we welcome you here, teacher, in Christ's name. Amen. As a little bit of an introduction, I have some explaining to do as far as my text, because of Job. And that's usually kind of unusual if a pastor is preaching, then usually does come along and do. I want to explain that a little bit to the devil, and I'm here with things, but I want to lay some things to rest. There's absolute competition, and I never think about setting him from the book of Job or anything like that. Whatever, I actually went to him when I got the invitation to preach and said, I really like the Lord wanted to preach from Job, but I've got something in chapter 35. I know you're going to look okay. His gracious reply was, sure, Robert, you preach from wherever you feel like the Lord wants you to. And so, if you would like, you can turn to Job chapter 35. I'll give you the specific verses in a moment. That kind of explains a little what went on. There's a deeper explanation that's really connected to why in the world am I preaching from the book of Job. And I know, and I'm not going to make a really big deal of it, but the real answer is a little piece of paper. I understand that you lay out there, and this is probably a 3x3. Well, and then the sermon title on it, the text, and I guess down some months before we went to Scotland, and I don't keep track of time the normal way, and so I had to ask my wife how long ago that was. And she said, well, we left about 6 years ago, and we were going about 6 months. And so if it was before that, then it's getting close to 7 years. For 7 years, I've been keeping this little piece of paper in front of my eyes. Because I felt like the Lord wanted me to share it with you. And I'm fun. And some weeks, and past, and even though my friend, my pastor, mentioned on the book of Job, I want your attention to chapter 35. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I just threw that piece of paper up. Done with it. I'm going to chapter 35, and I'm going to focus on verses 19. Job 35, God's word says this. Then you continued and said, do you think this is according to justice? Do you say, my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit will I have than if I had it? I will hear you. He told us, they are higher than you. What becomes him? If you are, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness for a man like yourself. Your righteousness for a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry for help. Paul says, where is God, my Maker, who gives songs in the night, teaches us more than the beast of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of heavens? They cry out, but because of the pride of evil men, surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard. How much less when you do not behold Him, face for Him, dwell for Him? Because is it in His anger, see His transgression, open out emptily? And in words, without knowledge. Assuredly, that needs some contact and some explaining. Ellie speaking here is not Job 3. I didn't know what Jason was going to preach, and he didn't know what it was. Ellie, who is the younger man, which you remember, verse 3 is in the end of the book of Job. It's what according to the Lord. Job had to pray and intercede. Those three, this is the other friend. And while I'm not going to say that all of his words were perfect, and commentate like Prime and Green, there's something we can glean from it. But not to exhaust the book of the final analysis upon blue, we can all do that in the days to come. Our goal is simply look at these verses primarily a little bit of verse 9, in context and do what the Lord has for this evening. Scripture says in other places by the mouth of two artists that things should be established. I bring to your attention to Psalm 77, verse 6. Asaph says this, I remember my songs
in the night.
Well, my title today is, so why didn't I from the Psalm passage? That's because as many times with God, when we have things that are very similar, little differences, no passage, but it emphasizes the fact that God gives songs in the night. So that's what we're going to consider. Let me read verses 9 and 10 again. The multitude cry for the arm of the mighty, but no one says, where is God my maker who gives the songs in the night? This evening, let us consider this passage three primary distinctions. It is good to cry to God and not simply to men. Secondly, night is sure to come. Third, God gives songs to those who cry to Him. Or it is good to cry unto God and not to men. In verses 9 and 10, we see there that negative conjunction, but, which seems to indicate that people find it very easy to cry to men, and yet somehow in their selfishness we find it difficult unto God going that way. We cry to friends, neighbors, pastors, co-workers. We cry to barbers and bartenders, cry to the government, to society, to doctors and lawyers, and we cry to all kinds of specialists. But it's very important for God's people to cry to Him. Crying to all those positions has their place, but for us to be one who cries to secondary sources more than God Himself. So let us cry out unto God. When we cry to God, we cry to the Creator of the universe. When we cry to the Lord, we cry to the Judge of the living and the dead, as it says in 2 Timothy. When we cry out to the Lord, we cry out to Him who does miracles, as it says in Isaiah chapter 30. When we cry out to God, we cry out to one who delights in good gifts to His children, Matthew chapter 7. When we cry out to the Lord, we cry to one who hears our prayers and hears our cries, as it says in Isaiah chapter 30. So, in our crying, let us cry out to the one who really matters, and let us keep on crying. Like the woman in Just Judge, remember her. She had a case, she went to the judge, he did not receive her answer, and she kept going back, she kept asking. We don't always receive our answers at first. Very often we not. And God calls and pleads with us and urges us to keep calling the answer. Yes, there is a place to try and keep, but at the end of the day, let us follow Jesus' advice to Peter. If Caesar the things that are Caesar's, give God the things that are God's. He invites us to all. He encourages us all. Let us keep on calling unto God. But when we do call and when we do cry, we need to show honestly. And we really see this in the book of Job, especially chapter 35. In fact, Job 35:13 says this, surely God will not listen to an empty cry. That's a lot of the context of chapter 35. Are they crying with empty words or words full of a right heart? So we need to cry honestly to the Lord. Let us feast upon the Psalms and all of God's words, especially the Psalms. We get in our head that they're not just for David. They're not just for Lord Jesus. It's been years ago, but I remember Bear preaching about the Psalms, and in one of the big points that was stuck with me is that God had these letters to His Son, written some 900 years, and that's my number, not Barry's, but some 900 years His Son was born, so that when His Son walked upon the earth, He could read the Psalm. That's an awful thought, that the Psalm special way for His Son. And we know the Lord Jesus, and we can believe that Psalms were for David. But the message is a Psalm for you, and all of God's words is God's word in the Psalm, special for His believers and for His children in their need to cry out to God. And sometimes we get a little help, and we get butt up in our soul, because of how to feel, and it's God's word through the Psalm that teaches cry out to Him. Here David cried in Psalm 55. Dear, and I'm going to read this. I think sometimes we dress up our ears a little bit. It's good to be respectful, and it's good to remember the crowd. But we to be honest, I'm not saying we're not. This is just an encouragement to be more honest with God. And Listen to praise here, Psalm 55. Hear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me. Answer me, for I am restless in my plaint. I am surely distracted. The voice of the wicked, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring me down. They bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is anguish within me, and terror of death has fallen on me. Fear trembling upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Many things we can say about that, but the point I'm crying out, and it's not about what anybody thinks or anybody else says, but being honest with the Lord and with him. And I put that in his church we could do. I mean, the Lord knows how we feel anyway. He knows our hearts. So let us be honest before him and tell him how we really feel. It is good to cry unto God, but when we do, let us so honestly and not just empty words. I tell you tonight what many of you already know, and that is night is come. The passage he gives songs to talk about the night for a few moments. I'd like to know two different ways. The first, probably the way of night, the dark period, which is day. But secondly, night can be seasons of trouble. But first, the dark period that follows day. How many of us can testify of struggles, fights, mind often fall into the night? And I've wondered, why is that, that we struggle in the night? Well, it's because we're busy in the day. We're busy doing what we're supposed to do at night when it's quiet. And we don't do the thing that we do all day long. It's all too easy for us to focus upon our problems. And the devil is all too eager to help us. And this is good for us to remember that, oh, yes, we do struggle. We do have to really go our focus. Should be on him and not on our church. I think of the other thing that Pastor York, my friend Barry, has said to us over and over again over the last few years, and he got it from Martin Lloyd Jones. Fits very well right here. In those simple, or specifically in that time when we're laying there wrestling our troubles, focusing on the trouble, not upon the solution. Here's the advice. Talk to yourself. Don't listen to yourself. You've heard it before. Certainly not original with me. Talk to yourself. Don't listen. What that means is, I'll do the negative one first. When we're laying there at night, or in a chair, whatever it may be, when we're focusing upon our problem and it's grinding and grinding and grinding away, we're just listening to all that foolishness and all that doubt and all that unbelief. But the Lord calls us, and as Lloyd-Jones said, what we need to do is talk to ourselves. Bring to mind his word in the hours of night. Remember that he's songs even in the night to change our focus, our problem, to its solution, to our God who deserves our praise regardless of what our problem is. We should be ready for the night, but we also have to remember that there are seasons of night. Sometimes it doesn't get light in a few hours. Sometimes it does not. Sometimes the nights last a little longer. And that's seasons of trouble, the second way that we define night. Sometimes the nights seem to go on and on and on. Sometimes we almost forget what this is like. Well, these are seasons of trouble and seasons of darkness. We need to cry out as David in Psalm 130, where he said, "My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning." Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Many, many years ago, before I was married, I was a prison guard. Most of the time, they had me on the unit. Obviously, I was a young man before I made it. A man down the units where trouble was. But every now and then, they'd be in pit. The guardhouse, the big room. Where you sit and look. Yeah. You look. And I worked night. And you can't turn on a little room. It's dark. And in the room, you can't see outside. So I thought I was on picket. Would sit. Wait for the morning. I can still remember. Long, long nights. David says, "My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman of the morning. Those were long nights, but I could count down the hours, and I knew when they were going to end. You have seasons in your life that are dark. I can't give you an end day. I don't know. Sometimes they last longer. God will bring light. We'll talk about that in a moment. But sometimes, in the midst of these dark seasons, we lose hope. Sometimes in the midst of these dark seasons, we ask, why? Why? Well, the answer, as we heard this morning and many times before, is that because God loves us and He wants what's best for us. And He uses even difficulties to glorify Himself, which is much more important, and to use them for our good. So in His mercy, He gives us songs, even in the night. So that brings us to our third and final consideration. God gives songs in the night to those who cry to Him. Songs in the night to those who cry to Him. Often we feel like we are out of gas. Many times we feel like we just can't go on. Well, note these words. God gives. God gives. God gives songs in the night to those who seek Him. God is not bound up by your troubles. We often get bound by the troubles that we worry about, troubles that plague us. It is so good to remember God is not bound by those troubles. Therefore, we do not have to be either. God gives. God gives. So we should ask Him and expect an answer. It's not our rich uncle, whether or not we do or do not have one, who's going to solve our problems. It's not the government. It's not Bill Gates or his foundation. There's a place to cry to earthly authorities and earthly options. But our best thing to do is cry unto God. God gives. This is the promise of your King. It's the promise of your Savior. God gives songs in the night. I note these words. In the night, God does not always make it day just when we think dawn needs to come. Day will come. The night will pass, both physical and spiritual. But spiritually, it may not be in the morning. Your troubles may be with you. They may last for a season. We should be prepared to fight that good fight, even as many of us heard in Sunday school, and wage that battle. But trust Him, even in dark seasons. God brings the night seasons, these trials, for our growth and for our good. We often focus upon the trial as simply negative. And we often forget that it comes from a loving Heavenly Father for our growth and for our maturity and for our good. We, in our weakness, focus upon the night. May the Lord help us to focus upon Him. We often think of trials as an indication of God's displeasure. But on the contrary, for the Christian, they are indicators of His love and His goodwill towards us. Trials are proof that God wants us to grow and that He is at work on our behalf. Trials are proof of God's love, as it says in Hebrews 12:6. Often, these songs in the night come wrapped up like packages, but it's the wrapping of these packages that seems strange to us. Many of us, a great many of us here, were at a wedding yesterday. And on the table downstairs were wonderful gifts. I didn't see what was inside any of them, but I saw beautiful packages, nice wrappings. We usually wrap our presents and our gifts before we give them to others. We put our love letters in special envelopes. Our Heavenly Father takes blessings, but He often wraps them up in trials. But He gives them to us out of love. Far be it for us to look at the outside and say, I don't want what's inside. And the Lord is saying, trust me. This may look difficult. It may be difficult, but I can bring good from it. The Lord brings songs even in the night. The point here is simple. Even though it may be dark, by God's grace, you can sing right in the middle of it. That's the message for today. He will bring the dawn. He will bring the light. Either your problem will get better if you're a Christian, or you will pass to heaven. It will get better. I just don't know when. The message for today is we can sing in the night. Remember Paul and Silas? They sang in the night. They had gotten this in their hearts, and I don't think they had a psalter with them in jail, in the inner prison. They were singing what was in their hearts. We too need to prepare ourselves for this battle by having God's Word in our heart that we might return it to Him. In the night, when perhaps we find it difficult to read, we find it difficult to believe, we find it difficult to see or even hope, it's God who gives songs in the night. You might say, okay, that all sounds theologically true, but what if I don't feel like singing in the dark? What if I don't feel like singing in the night? Well, remember this. It's God who gives. God gives songs in the night. We don't have to produce them. Yes, there is that balance, is another thing that we discussed in Sunday school this morning. Yes, there are things that we must do. But at the end of the day, God gives songs in the night. Let us look to Him. So we cry to Him. And in our crying, He can set us free. So how do we sing? We sing by faith. He gives songs in the night to those who call upon Him. Well, what might these songs look like if a song looks like something? What do these songs sound like? How can you, how can I recognize these songs? First off, a song in the night is a gift from God. A song can be a gift of faith or hope. A song can be a fresh revelation that God is in control and that He seeks your ultimate good. It can be the realization that your present problem will not really define you. As everybody knows, I've been preaching at the Rescution, and it's a little different down there. I'm going to do it. I'll do something that I do down there. Sometimes at the Rescue Mission, I preach to empty chairs. And you could say, well, Robert, get plenty of empty chairs to preach to. Sometimes at the mission, I preach to empty chairs behind me. Why in the world would you put empty chairs behind you when we're sitting out there? Well, you can see what's behind me. I can't. Very often, I want to get really specific and almost call somebody out by name. But that's generally not proper to call somebody out name. So I'll invent a character. And I want to do that this evening. You'll see that it worked. We got three chairs back here. We got Man A, Man B in the middle, and Mr. C on this end. Man A, he's just in horrible health. He's just sick, sick, sick. This man is sick. This man right here behind me that you cannot see, and I can't either because he's not there. This man has horrible finances. And by the way, his career is not going so well. This guy's bad sick. This poor guy, his finances are a wreck. His career's a wreck. And this guy over here, it's his family. I see that, you know, you don't want to point that out here. But maybe you can relate to one of these guys or a couple of these guys. And maybe you can relate to all of them. But remember, if we've got health, which we could call fitness, finances, and family if we want three L's. But doesn't that sound like Job? Didn't Job have all of those things hit at one time? Well, when we think about those folks, we often can think that describes that person, or that's the definition of that person, or that thing, his family or his finances or his health defines him. It does not. God is bigger than that. We don't have to get our definition from our shortcomings and from our weaknesses and from our trials and from our troubles. We get our definition from our Maker, from our Lord, and from our King. So a song in the night can be the realization that our present problems will not ultimately define us. A song in the night can be a refocusing upon the fact that we are united to the Almighty and that He deserves our praise no matter what, no matter how we feel. A song in the night is a looking right down the barrels of the shotgun and looking up to God and smiling. It's not saying that the shotgun's not there, or that the help or the lack of finances or those family troubles within or without. This is not saying that those things are not there. They're there. The message for today is, it's not the end. It's not the end. We trust the Lord even in the midst of these trials and struggles. A song in the night can be coming to the conclusion that the big picture is not all about us. It's not that we wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to go through this day thinking about me. No, we do it naturally. It's easy for us. It's good for us to hear over and over and over again, the big picture, it's not about us. It's about God and about His glory. That's really not a bad, simple summation of the book of Job. It's more about God and less about us. Songs in the night are glimpses of Christ and of heaven. And the ultimate night, which is death, is but the doorway to ultimate life, which is to be in His presence. As we close, let us consider that God invites us to call. Consider these texts that are similar. Matthew 7 and 7 and following say, ask, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Surely, this is crying to God. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Surely, this is crying to God. We have His promises. We have His special invitation through His sermon. God's recipe for singing often begins with crying. Let us cry unto God, for He gives songs even in the night. Amen.